podcast service of Quaker Gap Baptist Church in King, North Carolina, where our mission is to glorify God by growing Christ-like people.
So in the time that we have this morning, let's look into the Word of God and go to a couple of promises that the Lord has made to us. And we're going to start by turning to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. So turn with me there. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. If you have your pew Bible, that's page 819. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone. The new has come. And then also turn with me to the last book of the Bible, Revelation, going to chapter 21. Revelation 21, 5. That's page 878 if you have your pew Bible. Revelation 21, verse 5. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And what these verses have in common is the word new, right? It's all about things becoming new. The Lord promises to change things from the old to the new. And as we roll into a new year, let's examine these verses to see exactly what it is that God is in the business of making new and how we can be on His side in His endeavor of making things new. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you take your word this morning and that it might come alive in our hearts and our souls. Lord, don't feed just our mind this morning. Feed our hearts and send us out with a message to live. And we thank you, Lord, that you are in the business of making things new. Help us this morning to understand and to join you in that process. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. First of all, we need to understand that new is not always better than old. Is that right? New is not always better than old. In some cases, old is preferred to new. For example, some foods, like cheese and wine and beef, aged is sometimes better. Some of our clothing gets more comfortable the longer we have it, whether it's a leather jacket or some blue jeans or an old pair of boots you have. They just get more comfortable with age. The older they get, the better they become. Ladies, don't throw away your husband's old underwear. I mean, what's with that? You need to understand that things get better as they get older. Many things that were old are now considered classics, right? Old things can be considered antiques or collectibles. Old music becomes classic. Old people who perform old music become classic with time. I mean, have you seen Mick Jagger lately? Right? Point taken. We look back with admiration at the good old days. The good old days, according to Yogi Berra, aren't what they used to be. Because we all puff up the good old days to be something that they actually weren't if we could go back. But we still look back on the good old days with admiration. When old is good, it is preferred to new. However, when old is bad, new is definitely better. There's no doubt about that. I've never heard anybody get excited about that old car smell, you know? Seeing a used car going, I love that old car smell. You just don't do that. You don't buy, you don't buy the fragrance for your car, old car smell to hang there in the window, do you? You just don't do that. Anything with an expiration date, milk, bread, eggs, is not good once it gets old. And electronics. I mean, new electronics actually become old electronics the moment you bring them home. New things sometimes are better than old. So in the two verses that we just read, you need to understand something about what the Bible means when it says that God is taking old things and making them new. The assumption in those verses is that the old there is bad. Old is not always bad, but in these verses, old is considered bad, new is considered good. That first verse that we read, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, teaches us that Jesus is in the business of transforming people into new creations. He's taking old creatures and making them into new creatures. The old has gone, the new has come. And the assumption is that a new creature is better than an old creature. When God makes us new in Jesus Christ, we're changed from for the better, like an old car that's picked up out of a junkyard and restored to look and to run like new. There's a change that's been made. God is in the business of taking us old, rundown jalopies and restoring us and fixing us up and making us purr like kittens. That is what God is in the business of doing. Taking us old, beaten up, broken down models and transforming us into pristine condition. And you can look at change like that. When it comes to a restored car, you can see it. You know, the chrome's been polished. The paint's been redone. The engine's been overhauled, so now you turn the key and it comes to life. There's new upholstery, there's new tires. You can see the difference. But what about a new creation in Christ? If you are a new creature in Christ, what does that look like? What is the difference between the old creature and the new creature? If that is the business that God is in, then we should be seeing that change in our lives. The context of this verse shows us there are two major things that have been changed. If you are in Jesus Christ, two major things have been changed. So turn back there with me if you're not still there to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I want you to look at the context of that verse that we read because it helps us to understand exactly what has been changed from old to new and what the difference is now that we are new. First thing is that you are now reconciled to God. That's one of the changes that's been made according to this context, is you are reconciled to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18. 2 Corinthians 5, 18. Let's add that context to the verse that we read earlier. It says, "All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." So let me explain that. The old condition of a human being is that you are an enemy of God. We were born that way. God created the earth. He created human beings to populate the earth. And then what did the human beings do very early on? They disobeyed God. They sinned against him. Everything was good according to God. And then the human beings decided to sin. And everything changed. Everything changed. People became born enemies of God. I mean, God desires for us to love him, right? To worship him, to walk with him, to set aside our agenda and be willing to follow his agenda wherever he might take us, to recognize his calling on our life, that he created us, he loved us, he saved us, he wants us to be his, and then to take up our cross and to follow him. That's what he desires of us. But sin has made us old creations, stuck in the old way of doing things, the old order of the world. We avoid God. We look at his commands as if they're a burden. And we look at his will as if it's something difficult, old-fashioned, as undesirable. And rather than worshiping him as he would like for us to do, we seek ourselves to be worshiped. We want others to worship us. We want to live in a world where we are the center of all attention and we always get everything we want and everything works out our way. Or if we're not the ones that are seeking to be worshiped, we pile worship on other people, mostly people who don't deserve any type of worship at all. It's God who wants our worship, but we set our own agenda, we go our own way, we do our own things, and we fall in love with ourselves in new ways every single day. And sin has broken our relationship with God. We are enemies of God. But when you finally come to the end of yourself and you discover the truth about God and you put your faith in Jesus Christ for salvation, there's a change that's made, this verse teaches us. He makes you new. Now, what about you is new? Well, one of the things that's new about you is that you've been reconciled to God. Your relationship to God has been restored. You are no longer an enemy of God. Now God has welcomed you as his child. He's adopted you into his family. Like Adam walked with God in Eden, you are now invited to come and to walk with God each day. and you can follow Him, and you can worship Him and talk to Him and receive guidance from His Word. You're now a friend of God rather than an enemy. That's the change that's been made. God takes the old and makes it new by reconciling you to Himself. The old is gone, and the new has come. There's a second change that's made besides the reconciliation. When you become a new creation in Jesus Christ, according to the context of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, not only have you been reconciled, but also now you are declared righteous. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. In the same context of the verse that we read about going from old to new, here 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, God made Him who had no sin, that's Jesus, to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. God made Him who knew no sin, who had no sin, who didn't sin, to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God. The old condition of the human being is sin. We're all sinners. We're born with a bent towards sin and disobedience. That's what we want to do from the moment we come out of the womb. We want to disobey. Nobody has to teach a child how to disobey. It comes naturally. It comes on their own. It was passed down to them. Generations and generations of really good sinners. We come by it naturally. We continue to sin. And human beings are always inventing new ways to sin. And we're always coming up with new justifications for our sin. We're always looking for opportunities and scheming and trying to avoid the consequences. That's what living in this world is about for those who don't know God. And while some of these sins may become justified in the court of human opinion, it may become popular to say, well, this is not really sin. It's okay. God still sees it for what it is. It's sin. It's disobedience. It's unrighteousness. But He's done something about it. When you finally come to grips with the fact that you are a sinner, and you're able to admit that and confess that, yes, I am a sinner. Yes, you know, my mind is always wandering to things that are evil. Yeah, I'm always trying to find a way where I can get away with something. Yeah, I am a sinner. Once you can confess that and admit that, and you come to grips with that, and then you come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who died on the cross for you, the one who was without sin, who became sin for you, not only are you forgiven, but you become the righteousness of God. That's what the verse says. Your sin is removed, and Christ's righteousness is applied to you. So you are renewed and restored, totally restored. The old is gone. The new has come. So think of it in terms of those two words. Those two are words. You were an enemy of God, but now you are a new creation in Him. You are reconciled. You were lost in sin, but now you are a new creation in Christ. You are righteous. That's true of each person who has put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You are reconciled and you are righteous. God has taken the old, pushed it aside, and recreated and restored you, and you are new. Now, even though these things are true of you, and even those things are true of me, and God says it is so, we don't always live up to them. That's what the Christian life is all about. Now, that's why we come together and talk about it in church, and we have Bible studies and small groups, and we meet together, and we talk about Christian growth and being more like Jesus Christ. You say, well, you know, if I'm already reconciled and righteous, why do I have to go through all that stuff? You know, I'm already there, right? Well, the truth of the matter is that much of the Christian life is about living out what God says is already true about you. You are reconciled to God and you are righteous. The Christian life is about living into that identity that is already true of you. He says you are reconciled. Now act like it. He says that you are righteous. Now live like it. Paul puts it this way in the book of Ephesians. Listen to his words from Ephesians chapter 4. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Paul also says in Colossians chapter 3, you must rid yourself of such things as anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language, Do not lie to each other. Why should we get rid of all that stuff? He says, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge and in the image of its creator. Another way of saying what Paul's saying in those two verses is, be who you are. Be who you are. God has said that you are reconciled and righteous. Now be reconciled and righteous and live into that calling. Through Christ, God has reconciled you to himself and declared you to be righteous. Now live into the truth of who you are. Act like the new creation that you are. Put on the new self. Now, every new year and every new day and every new minute is an opportunity for you and for me to live out the miracle of God's transformation, to be his new creation that he's called you to be. This is what God is doing in our world right now. That's his work. It's God's work. It's what he's about. He's taking this old broken world and he's restoring it one person, one life at a time, reconciling you to himself and making you and declaring you to be righteous. And it's time to join him, to become the new creation that God has called you to be reconciled, to be righteous. The second passage of Scripture that we read earlier gives us a glimpse through the crystal ball of the future, through this prophetic vision of the Apostle John as he was seeing what God put before his eyes. He wrote it down in the book of Revelation. And he looks down through the corridors of time, and he looks at the end times, a time and a place which probably isn't as far away as we think it is. And what he sees there is a throne. And the person who is seated on that throne, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, stands up and speaks. And what does the Lord Jesus Christ say? But he says what we read earlier, I am making all things new. Making all things new. Now we might read that and say, cool, that's great, because there's some new stuff I could really use, you know. I could use a new car, I could use a new house, I could use a new kitchen, a new set of golf clubs would be great, a new hip, a new knee. Some of you will be getting some of those things this year, I know. But that's not what God is in the business of making new and changing. He's not primarily in the business of changing those types of things. He's more in the business of changing people. Now, things might coincide with the process of us being changed, but he's more interested in changing you than he is in changing your tax bracket. He's more interested in changing your life. He's more interested in you becoming more and more like his son, Jesus Christ, than he is with anything else. Jesus said he is making all things new. And when the end time comes, here's the Lord on the throne making things new. It's the culmination of what was ratified when Christ died on the cross. Think of that. When Christ died on the cross, he made a statement. And we right now are in the business of this battle, this spiritual battle that's taking place over our souls, and we are to become what he made us on the cross. But there's a culmination day coming when it will be over and when he will make all things new for good, for all eternity. And John was able to catch a glimpse of that culmination day when all things would be made new. Remember how it happened, you know, back in the early days of the United States of America. There was a declaration that was made, a declaration of independence. The colonists said, we are sick and tired of Britain telling us how to live. So we want to do things our way. We want freedom. So they wrote on a piece of paper, we declare our freedom. And they all signed that piece of paper and they delivered that to the king. And that was their declaration right there of independence. Of course, following that Declaration of Independence, there was a great war that was fought. There had to be this war that was fought over that declaration that was made. Eventually, the war was won, and at the end of the war, there was a treaty that was signed. And following the treaty that was signed, then the colonists truly had independence. They had freedom. It was won. And then they were able to live into that freedom. It's kind of like what happened when Christ was on the cross. That's sort of like our Declaration of Independence. At that point, when Christ was on the cross, dying for you, taking away your sins, he declared that you were free from the bondage and slavery of sin. But now that you've put your faith in him and that's applied to you, there's this war that's taking place. You're still fighting over that, to live into to what he's called you to be, to be who you already are in him. But there is a day coming, as we see here in the book of Revelation chapter 21 and verse 5. The day is coming when he will make all things new. The treaty will be signed and boom, for all eternity, it's done. He's getting ready to finish the job. The day is coming when it will be done for all eternity and everything will be made new. The old order of things will be changed. Unrighteousness, gone. The enemies of God, they will be imprisoned in hell for all eternity. Now, we can see things kind of like looking into a dirty mirror. But then, we will be able to see him face to face. And everything will be made new. And the job will be complete. He is making all things new. That day is coming. It's coming quick. And we join him today in his work of making things new, knowing that the job will be complete on that day, but recognizing that we're not there yet. Now, we can work with him in making things new and in becoming new ourselves, or we can work against him. We can certainly decide to walk against him and to not become new. We know that if you don't do anything at all, what usually happens? Things just tend to become old on their own. Now, most things have a tendency to become old and dusty when they're not used. But God has called us to make all things new as he is in the process of doing. We can join him or we can run away from him. Kind of like a child who hides from his mother when it's time to take a bath. You know, were you that kid? Mom said it's bath time and you hid. You know, eventually, you know, your mom was going to grab you and throw you in the tub and you were going to be made clean. It was going to happen whether you wanted it to happen or not. Well, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you know, let's walk with him now. Continue to walk with him and make things new and start scrubbing, you know, get in the tub, start scrubbing, be a part of the process, because there's a day coming when he's going to show up and it's going to be done completely, entirely. Why not join him and be a part of what he's doing right now rather than kicking against him? Chances are that you've made a New Year's resolution this year, or two or three or more, I don't know. Chances are that you've thought, even if you haven't made the resolution, you kind of, you know, toyed with the idea. You know, there's some things I should do this year. I'm not going to call it a resolution because that would be, you know, like you making a commitment. But there are some things that, you know, I might need to change. I'm not going to tell anybody because then I'd be accountable for it. But there are some things that I might like to change. Whatever you call it, a resolution, a commitment, an unspoken covenant, or just an idea. It may be you need to lose weight. It may be that you need less stress in your life. You need to be more organized. And I think we all know that we are not what we should be. That's why we come up with these things. We have an image of what we should be, and we're not there. So we say, well, there's some changes I need to make in order to get there. And that's why we come up with these things that we call resolutions. I don't know what your resolution is. But in one area of life or another, you've decided that you need to be made new. That's why we do that. Unless your, you know, resolution is you need to smoke more cigarettes and get drunk more often, which I don't advise things like that. That would be going in the wrong direction. The resolution should be to make yourself better, to be made new. Now, I encourage you, if you're in that process, here at the beginning of this year, to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, why would I say that? I mean, if you really desire to be made new, if there's changes that you need to make in your life to be made new, to become a new creation, to drop the old stuff and become the new you, the only person who can really do that for you is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you can make some temporary changes with willpower and things like that, but really God has this story that he's telling, this big picture, and the story is this. He is making all things new. And you fit into that picture. Now, you can go it on your own and try to do it through willpower, or you can say, you know what? I plug into God's big picture. Say, God, I need your help in this. I know that this is your will, that I become new, and I want to join with you in that process. I want to walk with you, Lord. So, if you're not saved, you have not put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, boy, it needs to start there. You know, you're not going to be made new unless first you get on your knees before him and say, I'm a sinner, I'm broken, I'm your enemy, and I turn to you for forgiveness. He will offer it to you. He already has through his son. He will give you that forgiveness and change your life completely. That's what he does. Maybe you have never been baptized before. You've been putting that thing off. You know, it seems embarrassing to you to get up in front of people and to be put under the water. Well, you know what? If you haven't been baptized, the Lord tells us in his word that is a testimony of your faith to those around you. Don't you want to make that statement this year? Not just to be saved, but to demonstrate before others, I am saved, and now it is my desire to walk with God all the days of my life and then to be baptized. If you haven't been baptized, I want to invite you this year to take the plunge. Start there. Are you not walking with him? If you haven't been walking with the Lord, he has reconciled you to himself if you're a believer in him. That's done already. He waits for you to walk with him. He longs for you to walk with him. He wants you to walk with him. Have you been dabbling in a little bit of unrighteousness? You know what I mean? You've gotten involved in some sinful habits and they're controlling you and you're having a difficult time finding your way out of that mess. He has already declared you righteous through his son Jesus Christ. Put off the old and put on the new. Become who he's called you to be. And one day we look forward to the culmination of it all when he says, I am making all things new. Let's join him today as he does that, you and I, and let's become new. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for your word. And your word speaks to each of us in different ways because we are all different people, struggling in different areas of life, with different circumstances, different people who are coming in and out of our life, different scenarios, Lord. Each one of us faces you as an individual today. And Lord, we desire your forgiveness. We desire to be reminded that Jesus came to reconcile us and to declare us righteous. And we desire, Lord, to not just know that in our heads, but to live it in our lives. So Lord, help us to commit ourselves to you more fully. Lord, where we have decided to make changes in this coming year, help us to make them in the power of the Holy Spirit. Not just as an idea, Lord, but as a way of joining you in making all things new. Help us, Lord, as we make these decisions, Father, that they might be informed by you, empowered by your Holy Spirit. And Father, that we won't just talk about change, but we will see it as you make all things new within us. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we prepare to come to the Lord's table, I want to tell you that I just started a new devotional book, okay? It's the beginning of a new year. You pull out this new devotional book. It starts with day one, which, of course, was yesterday. Day one. And interesting, as I was reading on day one, it was Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 to 10, the story about how the man and the woman sinned against God in the garden. That's where it started. And it said, think about this. This is what the author said to think about. The first two chapters of Genesis speak of God's amazing creation. Chapter 3 speaks of the rebellion of humankind. And the remainder of the message, that's the whole Bible, details God's intricate and loving plan to redeem, restore, and reconcile creation back to himself. After what happened in Genesis 3, God's plan hinges on what happened in the garden. How does this passage speak to your situation today? And then it says there's no better way to begin to understand God's message than to grasp our separation from him because of sin and our desperate need for him to reconcile our relationship. Take some time to confess those areas where you have deliberately rebelled against God. I want to invite you to do that. God is in the process of reconciling you to himself and declaring you righteous, and you're living into that. Where is it that you've fallen? As we prepare to come to the table today, to be reminded of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did for us on the cross, let's first take some time silently before God to confess those areas where things just are out of whack in our lives, and ask God to touch us, to remind us that we are reconciled and righteous, and to draw us into a renewed and a more full relationship with him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer silently and ask our deacons if they would come forward as we prepare for the Lord's table.